I'm Wayne Hussey.
Mike Kelly, the drummer.
Hi, I'm Simon Hinkler, play the guitar.
You say the Mission UK, and people either go, oh my gosh, or, I think I know a song. And it really is very much that way, especially here in your favorite place, the United States. Mm-hmm. I like revisionist history, and I think what would be really fun is for each of you to pick a little blank.
Mick Brown, but he's had the old op and stuff, you know, and he looks 20 years younger, but he's actually, his lifestyle is such that he looks the same. He looks a lot younger, but he's actually been in the band from the very beginning.
Peter Murphy told me probably about a year ago that he was goth, that he absolutely was goth. So now we can clear this up and get rid of this whole thing by way of saying that the Maharishi was actually the first goth. Can we go there?
You can do, but I would probably actually say Hank Williams myself. Song titles, Angel of Death, Alone and Forsaken. I don't know if you know those songs.
This is an opportunity because you started it. But this is an interesting thing of what goth really is. And you've just defined it in a way that's really going to spoil everybody, because half the people that are coming tonight, you know, really want to be in pain. Right? That's, you know, that they are counting on you to do, as you know, Sylvester Stallone would say, to deliver the pain.
I'd have to say that we've never really delivered pain.
I
think our songs generally over the years have actually been very joyous and celebratory and life-affirming and all the positives rather than negatives of life, personally.
Happy bands really are the goth bands.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think Peter Murphy is goth.
So we're going to give this to him?
Yeah, well, absolutely. He can wear the crown.
He can be the miserable one?
Peter was in São Paulo a few weeks ago, was where I live.
Right.
And he
right.
dragged me up on stage, actually, to join him for a couple of songs.
Do you smile when you look back at all the critics? Do you say, you know, back when they were saying that, and we were pretty much saying it doesn't matter, now we have proof it doesn't matter.
Absolutely, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, we're a band that certainly, I think, I know Simon has not been in the band for a few years, but I think each and every record that the band has made has been very different from the one before it. You know, so it's not like we ever read the reviews and think, wow, we need to change what we're doing, or listen to what our fans, our audience are saying, and we need to give them what they expect. We basically have always done what we've wanted to do at any given point in time. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Did this man, when this album came to be, and I know that there were, you know, various reasons it did, that you played some gigs and it was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, it's time to do something new. That much I know. But this man is quoted as saying that his partner in crime calls this the testosterone album.
I think that the idea from the start was to do it quite quickly and all sort of playing together at the same time. And
right.
Wayne came up with like 30-odd songs, song ideas, basically acoustics and vocal, most of them. And we just came together and just banged it together within a couple of weeks, did some gigs and recorded it within another couple of weeks. So, you know, it ended up being exactly what it was. You know, it just kind of formulated itself.
But where was that moment that you decided to make a left turn at 30 miles an hour and this became the Testosterone album?
I don't know if there ever was really a conscious decision to do it that way. What happened really was that we got back together, we started playing the shows, and I think we soon realized that we were actually making a good old noise, you know. It was a big, loud noise. And one of the things I think that certainly with the advent of Pro Tools over the years and is that records tend to get layered, and they become homogenized in a way, the digital format, which is, you know, Pro Tools is great. But I just felt that what I wanted to do with this record was capture what we were good at, which is playing together. You know, rather than, you know, Mike puts the drums down to a click and then Craig puts his bass on top, I thought, let's go in and slam it down. We did most of the album without clicks. And it's got that ebb and flow. You know, the songs sometimes start at a slower tempo to where they end up, later in the song. And I like that. You know, the record is raw, and that's one of the things that I wanted with this record. The two guitars, bass and drums, and very little embellishment.
But just because it's raw doesn't mean it doesn't have to really sound good. And I cranked it on good speakers today, and you've talked about this a lot, but you bring in Dave Allen. You're not messing around. This is a man who knows his way around, around making a great sounding record. And some bands that try to do the live and try to do it raw say, oh, we're going to leave it that way. But you're smart enough to know that doing it live and doing it raw doesn't mean you don't want to bring in Dave to make the things sound really good. Because you've produced, some of the previous ones you all produce. Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I've known Dave for a long time and I've worked with him before. And I knew that he would understand what we wanted to do with this record. I mean, if we brought in a young kid, which was, a consideration at one point, maybe that young kid would have felt the need to try and impose his personality in what we were doing. Dave is at the same age as us, so all our points of reference he understands. He understands that, he started making records back in the day with tape and bands set up in studios. He understood all that. And that it was an inspired choice, I think, working with Dave, certainly.
The U.S. is an interesting place. The U.S., I'm gonna approach it through the back door. The U.S. is an interesting, unique environment. So you've only got 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks of this, then you go back to the U.K. and Glasgow, and you do a little bit of Hamburg and all of that. So has the U.S. been good this time around so far?
I have to say, yes, it's actually exceeded my expectations. I used to live in Southern California for my sins, and I left there maybe 11, 12 years ago with pretty acrimoniously, and then my whole take on the U.S. was coloured by that, really, by my personal situation. And I have to say, I wasn't particularly looking forward to this tour, but I've actually enjoyed it an awful lot. I think the audiences have been great. The whole vibe of the band has been great, But you know what? It's ten shows in 2 weeks. It's hardly a grueling schedule. If it had been 6 months, I'd be a bit worried.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two songs from this band as the bread, and then a bunch of songs by anybody else you want to play in between. I play it with no interruption, no jingles, no talking. It's 40 minutes of solid music.